Oh, thank you, Colton. That was awesome. Challenging, right? But that's good, because God's a good dad, and we celebrate him today on Father's Day. I get the opportunity to share a little bit about the father heart of God this morning and how it relates to us, and because I know that obviously fathers are on a lot of our hearts, our brains today. Like Mackenzie said, some people have great memories and are still making great memories with fathers in their life. Other people, Father's Day might have a few more barbs in it than we care to admit. But I just really feel like the Father wants to do something special here today. I felt it in worship. I felt it through the words that have already been shared. There's some walls that God wants to break down when it comes to how we relate to Him as a Father first. And so I'm just excited for that. And I just want to say, thank you to all the fellow dads out there for what you do. What you do isn't just a job, it's a call. And it's a call that God's blessed you with. And so we just honor you today, whether you're a biological father, whether you're a stepfather, whether you're a spiritual father to people in your life. Yours is a high calling, it's a worthy calling, and it's impactful. And so we just want to bless you today and say thank you for what you do, to pour out for your families, to pour out for others, to pour out for the next generation. I thought it would be fun just for me to brag about my kids a little bit today, because now that I have them, it's like I might as well take advantage, right? And so we'll just throw a couple of pictures up, and you guys can just scroll through them as I talk. But I just wanted to begin today. This is our newest addition, Evie Grace. She just turned 6 months old yesterday. It just melts your heart, doesn't it? I love my girls. I love being a dad to girls. And I just want to talk a little bit this morning as we start about why I love being a dad. I was thinking about this the other week. You know, what is it about being a dad that I really enjoy? First thing, yeah, this was at the Puyallup Fair this September, and she wanted to go on the Dumbo ride, so that's what we did. Because I do anything for my princesses, you know? And what I love about being a dad, first and foremost, I love how much I love my girls. And I say that not to brag about myself, but I say it because sometimes God does things in our lives to expand our hearts, and sometimes we don't even realize that's what's happening. But when my girls showed up on planet Earth, I was amazed at how much my heart just expands in love. Our heads can't comprehend it. Our heads can never contain the amount of stuff that God wants to do in our hearts. And so I just enjoy the fact that I really enjoy being a dad. And I love the fact that I just notice little things about my kids that I will remember probably for the rest of my life. It's like God gives me little snapshots and he just whispers to my heart, you're going to remember this for the rest of your life. And it's not like fancy vacations. It's not the special things that we do as a family. It's just the everyday stuff, like the way that Alexa's eyes squint up when she laughs or smiles really hard. Or the way that Evie just looks at me and laughs, even though we can't really talk to each other yet. Those are little snapshots that just hit my heart, and I go, I'm going to remember this for the rest of my life. I love the way that I love my girls. I love that my kids love to be around me. I love that Alexa, no matter what I'm doing, whether I'm taking out the trash, mowing the grass, washing the car, driving to the hardware store, her number one question is, Daddy, can I go with you? I want to go with you. And I love that. I love that she just wants to follow me around. Daddy, can I help you with that? I love that we get to do dates to the hardware store at 3 years old already. And I'm like, we are going to carry on this tradition, young princess. This is a good place to hang out. I love that my girls keep me grounded in what's really important in life. I'm a man who likes lists. I'm a man who likes getting things done. I take my responsibility in the call on my life as a pastor seriously. I take my responsibility to be the provider for my family seriously. And if I'm being honest this morning, there's a lot of instances where I take it seriously to the point where it turns into worry. And I can I can kind of travel down the rabbit hole of worry pretty rapidly, and I can start to stress out about things and what's going to happen here, what's going to happen there, are we going to have enough here, am I doing a good enough job at this, and I can kind of like leave the work world that I leave every day, and I can come home stressed out, but then like Alexa meets me at my truck most of the time or at the front door, ready to say hi and ready to tell me everything that happened that day. And she'll say, Daddy, guess what happened today? I went potty on the toilet, and Evie took a snooze, and then we ate lunch, and then Mama got mad at me. And the funny thing about Alexa is she fails to ever give you the indication that there was a reason that Mama got a little frustrated. It was like, I don't know what happened. Mama just got mad. And I'll just say, well, did you do something? Well, yeah, I didn't want to eat lunch, and so I said no. And I go, well, why did you say no? Because, yeah, that's why. And she'll say, guess what? We made dinner for you. And all of that worry and all of that strife and all of that stuff that I do to stress myself out just seems to melt away because I realize this is the stuff that life's made of right here. And I don't know about you other dads, other moms out there, but sometimes we get really good at playing the comparison game, and we get really good at worrying about things that we shouldn't be worrying about, like, what's the next big thing? Humans, we have this tendency to think so linearly, right? We're like, well, I love where we're at now, but what's the next house going to be? Where are we going to live next? What's the next big vacation we can plan? Do we have enough money to do that? What's the next year looks like? What's the next pay raise going to look like? Are we going to be able to do this? And God just settles my heart down, and he said, these are the moments that you live for right here. Stop always thinking about your life as the next thing that I want to do, because what is happening right now, this conversation that you're having with your almost three-year-old right now, is the stuff that life's made of. Don't, right? Yeah. I'm learning a lot. Those moments are our lives, and we got to take them seriously. We've got to remember those things, and I don't want to be a man who realizes that I spent so much time worrying about the next thing that I failed to enjoy the moment that I'm in. Because sometimes it's easier to look forward to something that hasn't happened yet than to just live in the moment that you're living in right now. And I want to be a dad that's always present for my kids. Not so consumed with getting the next project done that I won't take the time to bring my daughters with me because, well, it's just going to go slower if you tag along. I never do that because I just love the fact that they want to be with me. So I'm learning a lot as a dad, and I love being a dad. And as great as I think I am at it sometimes, and as great as the feeling is, it made me think about how much God enjoys being our father. The amount of time that my girls want to spend with me, and I think, man, God really enjoys being with us. I forget that sometimes. He wants to do everything with us because he's our father. You know, I read this quote from a theologian this week, and it says, all that we know of genuine human fatherhood at its best is a pale reflection of what God the Father is. First to his son, and then to all those who become his spiritual children. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is explaining kind of just the vastness of the Father heart of God and his love, and he explains it this way. He says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? I just want to remind us this morning that God is an incredibly good Father. And I hope that by the time we leave this place today, we will have a deeper grasp of how much the Father loves us, how much he loves being our Father, how much he wants to relate to us. Because most of the time, honestly, he's better than we give him credit for. God is so much better to us than we give him credit for. I mean, I loved Mackenzie's testimony of she's just expecting a response from God, but it's like every response we get from God rocks us harder than we ever thought it would. Oh, I can't believe you said it that way. I'm ruined. And that's because the love of God is so far beyond our comprehension. And so this morning, my desire is to encourage all of us, and specifically encourage fathers this morning, the truth that God is the best father you will ever have. And you know, you think about Father's Day messages, and I know that sometimes pastors are kind of guilty, especially when it comes to men, of, you know, giving the 15, here's 20 things that I'm going to tell you today to make you a better dad. And, you know, sometimes that just gets old. It's like, okay, here's 20 more things that I can do because I'm horrible at it right now. Sometimes the lists don't really work because it's not so much about here's practically what you can do to be a better husband. Here's practically what you can do to be a better dad to your kids. Take them out more. Do this, do that. But at the root, the foundation of it, if we don't have a proper understanding as dads of who our father is, all of the advice in the world, all the practical steps in the world, they won't sink in because at the core of who we are, our identity is still screwed up. Yeah. I've heard it said before that in order to be a great father, you have to be a good son. And the reason that we focus so much on identity this last month, our identity in God, is because if you don't have your identity figured out, you're not going to be able to pass identity on to your children. You're not going to be able to live confidently in the call that God has blessed you with of being a father because you still feel like an orphan. Orphan spirit and father heart don't mix well. If I still feel like I'm orphaned, if I still feel like I'm abandoned, rejected, I'm never going to be able to express the father heart of God to its fullness. So I want to talk a little bit about the father heart of God this morning as we continue, but and I know Pastor Justin talked about this last week, but God's heart is so big that he has chosen in his mercy and in his grace and in his love to adopt sons and daughters into his family that didn't belong there. Because of our sin, because of our rebellion, because of our failures, we are separated from God. But God, in his mercy and grace, sent Jesus, his son, to die for the punishment that we should take, so that he could reconnect us to himself and say, not only do I forgive you, but I want relationship with you again. Yeah. Right? There's a difference between knowing that your sentence, your penalty has been waived, and then being friends with the one who could have given you the sentence. It's like if I stand before the judge and he's like, hey, Ryan, we're just going to go ahead and cancel out the penalty for that speeding ticket. I've actually never gotten one. I'm grateful for that. But if I'm standing in front of a judge and he's like, hey, we're just gonna forget that happened. And I'm like, thank you. And then there's a huge difference if that guy goes, I like you a lot. Do you want to come over to my house for dinner? You're like, huh? Oh, I don't know. And I think a lot of Christians still kind of walk that way in their relationship with the Father. They're like, well, I'm just grateful that you forgave me of all my debts. Thanks for doing that. I'll see you next time when we have to schedule another court date. But it's the connection that God wants to have with us as his children. The fact that he enjoys being around us. He wants to talk with us. He wants to be with us. It's all about who we are in him. It's all about letting that orphan spirit melt off because you have a father who's not only forgiven you, but he wants to be with you. And when we're with people that love us, all of that rejection and all that insecurity tends to melt away because we know that somebody actually values us and cares about who we are. We have been adopted as his children. Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 5 says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. That just rocks my world right there. What? To be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will. Not only did God think it was a good idea to save us, he enjoyed the idea. It was his pleasure to think about rescuing his creation. Pastor Justin said something last week that I thought was really profound and really important. I just want to repeat it for us in this moment. He said, trying to get eternal value from something temporal will always fall short. And here's the truth today. It doesn't matter if you have the best dad on the planet or the worst dad on the planet. Us constantly trying to get our worth and value from other human beings never satisfies to the point that God the Father satisfies, because he's the one who created us. It's exactly what Mackenzie said this morning. Nothing is going to satisfy your heart and fill up your tank like hearing the voice of God over you yourself saying, I love you, you're my son, you're my daughter, you're the moose in this thing, you're not just the tree. Whatever he has to say to get your heart to understand how much he values you and loves you and thinks you're valuable, he wants to speak it to you. And those words from your Father in heaven will instantly begin to heal all the woundings and all the regrets and all the pain of people that you wanted to fill that void, but it never seems like they could. And we let go of the bitterness, and we let go of the rejection, and we stop being angry at people for everything that they didn't do for us. And we start to have mercy on people because we realize that people act the way they think. And if somebody thinks they're an orphan, if somebody thinks they're a failure, they're probably going to treat other people like orphans and failures too. The voice of God in your life does a lot. We can't get eternal value from something that's earthly. We have to get it from the source. And when we believe in who Jesus is, we're adopted by God's initiation and by his grace to his family. And I love this about the Father heart of God. He initiates. You can tell that your heart's being healed and restored as a father when you start to initiate more. You start to initiate into broken relationships. You know, in a lot of men, we struggle with this pride and arrogance thing, and a lot of the pride just prevents us from speaking, even though we kind of want to, even though we might want a relationship to be healthier or be restored. We just kind of like want to wait around for another person to act. Like, well, they'll come back and talk to me when they're ready. Well, if you're their dad, then maybe you initiating that conversation would do a lot to heal the divide that's happened. Right? Because fathers know how to initiate. God initiated with us when we were still clueless, when we still didn't know who he was, when we still hated him. We loved darkness instead of light, and Jesus came anyway because the Father said, I will initiate this relationship because that's my heart. And I think, unfortunately, we tend to superimpose who we believe God to be based on our earthly examples. You bring up the word father, you bring up the word mother, whatever it is, whatever memories you have, we tend to superimpose those when God calls himself a father, and then we compare that to our father, whether he was great or not, we tend to just believe that's who God is. But I think the key for us this morning, the key to freedom this morning, is to make sure that we superimpose the father heart of God onto our role as fathers. It's got to be the other way around. We can't keep trying to compare God to earthly examples. We have to view God for who he says he is, how he acts, and then we superimpose that role onto our life as fathers. And so this morning, I thought it would be very valuable just to talk about how we become fatherhood through the lens of the gospel. Because this verse that I've known for years and years and years just kind of stuck out to me again. In 1 Corinthians 4:15, the Apostle Paul says, and he's talking to the church, he's instructing the church, and he's trying to get them to be disciplers and fathers and mothers, and he challenges the church with this statement. He says, for though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. And he goes on to say, I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. And the phrase that really stuck out to me in this time around as I read it again was, I felt like the Father was saying, the key to success in your fatherhood is if you live your fatherhood through the gospel. You have to superimpose your relationship with Jesus Christ and what the gospel has done for you into the way you interact with children, into the way you interact with people, into how you feel about yourself, and how you view yourself. Because if you can't live your fatherhood through the lens of the gospel and through the reality of the gospel, it's not going to work. Because the problem is, we are not the ones who invented fatherhood. God did. So we can't continue to go back to old examples, because the true example is God Himself. And so I want to submit to you this morning that true fathering starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want to submit to you that it's really the only way to truly father is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's funny to me, we seem to be so dumbfounded by like the miracle power of God when it comes to outward signs and wonders. Like, I get so many questions like, do you really believe God still does that today? I was like, I don't know. Do you really believe that He still saves people today? For me, if we're honest with ourselves, the thing we struggle with more than just like waiting for a sign or a wonder is the internal working of God in our hearts. Like, that's the hardest thing for me to believe. Wait, if I'm a new creation, God, is that really true? God, I don't really feel like I'm your son today. Is that still true? Am I adopted like always? And God's like, yeah, by faith, through grace, you're saved. And I'm like, because we ponder it in our heads so much to the point where we talk ourselves out of our own salvation. And God says, you have to live your life in the reality of the gospel message if you're going to be a father, if you're going to father well. Paul said, I became a father through the gospel. And this is a man who spent his life very successfully, I might add, probably living well, knowing all the right people, very influential. He said, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I was a teacher of teachers. I dedicated my entire life to the point where he never got married. He never had children of his own. But he said, when I met Jesus on that road that day, my heart changed. I became a father. This is a man who split families apart for the sake of resisting Christianity. And all of a sudden he comes back to the church and he said, I just need to tell you what happened to my heart. I became a father because of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you this morning that there's hope, because no matter where you are at, the mistakes that you've made, the things that you might have screwed up, God will make you a father. God can make you a mother through the gospel, but it comes to us believing it. It's the love of a perfect father. I'm going to tell you this morning, some of you may know this, but I think we really need to know it in our hearts. A relationship with Jesus Christ is the only thing that can heal us. It's the only thing that can bring restoration. It's the only thing that can deal with rejection. It's the only thing that's going to deal with the shame and the regret of your past. I hear this over and over again, and I feel it in myself. How am I ever going to talk to my kids about this if I know that I failed in it before? Because of Jesus. Because I'm not going to try to hide my failures from my kids. I'm going to, as Paul, the Apostle Paul also said, I can boast in my weaknesses because it's just going to show my kids what grace can do. So much of our insecurity and our fear in our parenting and in our fatherhood is, man, if my kids ever found out I was crazy in high school, if my kids ever found out that I had multiple girlfriends, man, how can I ever talk to them about being pure and treating women with respect when all this happened? Because of Jesus, that's why. Because our past doesn't define us anymore. It just becomes a teaching tool to say, this is where my heart was, but this is how I became a father. This is how I got free. This is what grace did for me. And then your kids are going to be encouraged. Because they're going to go, man, if dad trusts Jesus that much, if Jesus can heal mom and dad that much, if this life that they talk about is so far from who they are today, it's got to be true. We can encourage our kids in a relationship with Jesus by being honest with them about the power of the gospel. Amen. It's the only relationship that's going to wash away those failures so that they just become facts in your timeline instead of things that still carry those emotional barbs of shame and regret and condemnation that you carry with you. It's the only relationship that's going to take the pain of those areas where we felt alone, where we felt neglected in our own relationships with moms and dads, and say it's okay because Father God is a father to the orphan. He's a father to the fatherless. He can fill the void that was left by people that didn't know how to care for you like I know how to care for you. This is the gospel. This is the good news. We got to live the good news. So if you're not convinced yet, I just want to say this. I just want to bring up four things. It's probably more than four, but I'll just bring up four today of the benefits of dads having a genuine relationship with Jesus. Number one, it brings intimacy into our relationship with God and into the relationship with our families. Sometimes, even in my own heart, I can forget the fact that my father wants to spend time with me, and I view him more as a principal in my life rather than a friend and a king who wants time with his son. I view it more like a checklist. Like, did you do this week? Did you perform well in this area? And then God will come back and say, here's where you graded well, here's where you didn't. God's not just a principal in our lives, dads. He wants a relationship with us. Jesus told his disciples in John 15:15, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends, for all that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. Can I say this morning, dads? Jesus wants your friendship more than he wants your labor. I know that as dads, we pride ourselves, and rightfully so. It's a part of how we're built. We pride ourselves on laboring hard and carrying heavy loads for our families. It gives us a sense of accomplishment and self-worth. But I feel like Jesus wants to remind us this morning, I want your friendship more than I want your labor. I appreciate the fact that you're a hard worker. I appreciate the fact that you take responsibility. But more than just hard work, his relationship with you as his son is what he values more than anything. In the Old Testament, it was said of Moses that he would go into the tent of meeting, far away from the community, far away from the community living situation in the tents. He would go out to the tent of meeting just one-on-one with God. And it said when he went into the tent, the presence of God would show up in a cloud, and everybody knew that the presence of God was with Moses. And it says when he was in their meeting, God would meet with Moses as a man meets with his friend. God, he's our king. Jesus is our Lord, but he's also our friend. He wants to talk to us personally, intimately. And I just want to encourage you, dads, build a friendship with Jesus so that in those moments where you need to get away and you need to process, you need to take some time to yourself. I speak to this as a man, and I know not all men are the same, but I know that sometimes I'm not the best open processor. I can't just talk my way through things. I have to look at my wife sometimes when I feel overwhelmed and say, just give me a few minutes. I'm going to go outside and water the flowers. Because I just remembered that they were going to die? No, because I just need some time. A lot of my lawnmower time is time just spent talking to God. I think my neighbors watch me and they just think I'm just like, this guy just really likes simple labor, doesn't he? Isn't this like the second time this week he's cut his grass? I'm like, yeah, I'm mulching it today. It's a little shorter and it's dry, so that's good. But the whole time I'm just having a conversation with my Father. Some of my best sermon ideas pop into my heart and into my head when I'm cutting my grass. I look at my yard a lot differently than most people. But it's because it's my tent time. It's my time as a man where I just get to get away. And sometimes, men, it's not good to just be alone with your own bad self. Sometimes it's not good to just be alone with your own thoughts. Invite the Holy Spirit into the conversation, because the Holy Spirit's your friend. He's your counselor. He's your guide. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you orphaned, but the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to remind you of everything that I've already taught you. And he's going to teach you new things. And I cherish and value those times in my personal time with the Lord, because it's where God reveals his heart to me again. And if I got a little too snappy with my kids, or I got a little too short with my wife, the Holy Spirit will just gently remind me, remember, communication happens this way best. And then after I've calmed down a little bit and gotten my energy out and the yard looks good, I can walk back inside and I can have a conversation that leads people and leads me back to Jesus, instead of just still being frustrated about the same thing. And you know, we talk a lot about fathers, you need to be the spiritual leaders of your family. And a lot of times we feel intimidated by that fact, because when you don't really have a consistent personal relationship with the Lord, it's really hard when you get called on in the heat of the moment. And a lot of the times, if we're neglecting that personal time with the Lord, the heat of the moment will come up because something is falling apart emotionally, physically. You know, it's like, I've had a rough day. You just need to take the girls. And if I'm not centered, if I'm not ready spiritually, I'll just be like, well, I had a tough day too. I just got home. I just want to relax. I want to go sit on the porch. I don't want to hold the crying baby. See, but if I take my time with the Lord, I can say that, no problem, honey. Because it's grace working in me. And our wives will cry for us to be the spiritual leaders of our households. And if you're not in the habit of spending your personal time with Lord, it's just going to be a performance thing. And it's going to be like a spur of the moment thing where you go, I don't feel prepared for this. Stop asking me to do that. You know how you get prepared for being a spiritual leader in your home? You take your one-on-one time with Jesus consistently. And then it doesn't feel so overwhelming when those situations happen. Because you've been talking with the Holy Spirit for a lot longer than just the last 5 minutes. Your relationship with the Lord stops being DEFCON 5 every time you talk to him. It's not the prayer of desperation. Holy Spirit, you got to help. My family's falling apart. It becomes, oh yeah, we talked about this last week. I'm a man. I like to be prepared. And I find that the relationship with the Holy Spirit keeps me prepared more than anything else. A relationship with Jesus brings generosity to your heart. God is generous in the extreme. It allows us to be generous with our love towards others. There was a situation in Luke chapter 7 where a Pharisee named Simon invites Jesus over for dinner, and in the course of their dinner together, this woman, who the Bible describes as one living a life of sin, showed up at the house weeping. She wept all over Jesus' feet, and then she dried up the tears with her hair, and then she poured a bottle of perfume on him. And this Pharisee, Simon, in his heart was saying, man, if Jesus really was prophetic, he would know what a disgusting woman this is. This is embarrassing. And Jesus, knowing what was going on in his heart, said, hey, let me ask you a question. If you encountered somebody, you owed a debt to somebody, let's just say there were two people, one guy owed him $50 and the other guy owed him $500, but he just decided to forgive their debt. Who do you think would be more grateful in that exchange? He said, well, I suppose it would be the man who was given the larger debt. Jesus said, you're correct. He said, from the moment this woman has come in, she has done nothing but love me. I walked into your house based on your invitation, and you didn't offer me water to wash my feet. You didn't offer me anything hospitable, but from the moment she entered, she's wet her feet with her tears. She's dried them with her hair. She's poured expensive perfume on me. And he goes, let me tell you why this is happening, because she's been forgiven much. And because she's been forgiven much, she loves much. He who has been forgiven little loves little. You have to have a personal encounter with Jesus in your life to the extent where you are grateful and you know how much you've been forgiven by him and how much you continually are forgiven by him, because it causes your heart to be grateful. and it causes your heart to be merciful toward people that still need grace. Our ability to love people well is directly related to our consciousness of how much we've been forgiven. If we can get past our pride, if we can stop trying to make up for our mistakes with our own efforts, if we can accept how much Jesus just loved us, and he's willing to take his punishment on himself, we will live in a way that is generous in love toward our family and toward our kids. God is a good father, and he teaches us to clean up our messes when we make them. But he's not going to make us pay for those messes again, because Jesus already took the punishment. And sometimes when we don't understand that concept, we teach our kids to clean up their message, but we kind of like hold the stick of shame over them at the same time. You better not do this again. You're embarrassing me. And you know why I think it is we do that? Because we believe that somehow our kids' behavior reflects poorly on our character. But I've come to realize that my girls have a free will just like I do. And sometimes they make decisions that make me feel really happy and really proud. And sometimes they make decisions that make me feel angry and they break my heart. Man, I really wish you wouldn't have done that. But you know what keeps me grounded? Knowing that God gave them a free will just like he gave me. And just because my kids make a poor decision doesn't mean that it's because I made a poor decision. Sometimes it just happens. Sometimes life happens. I mean, God's the most perfect dad in the whole world, and Adam and Eve still decided to not listen to what he had to say, and they ate the apple anyway. It's like, way to go, God. Was that bad parenting on your part? No, it's just free will. It gets in the way, doesn't it? But I love them anyway. Listen to this. God's identity is never changed because of our behavior. God is holy whether we choose to be holy or not. His character doesn't change. Your children have a will of their own. They're going to make decisions. Some of them are going to hurt you. But as long as you don't assume that their choices are a direct reflection on your character, you're going to be able to love them generously while teaching them to clean up their mess at the same time and be patient with them in the process. Is that good preaching?
Yeah.
Number three, relationship with Jesus brings security. Insecurity always brings out the worst in people. I know it brings out the worst in me. When we're insecure, it means that we're always questioning the status of the relationship. And usually we falsely assume that the relationship is based on how well we're performing. Am I doing good this week or not? Do you still love me or not? So that performance-based mentality causes our reaction to failure or fear of failure to be really unstable. And so we, a lot of times, especially as men, will lash out in anger, we'll lash out in pride, we'll try to convince the world that we did nothing wrong, or we'll lash out in rejection and say, man, if you really appreciated me, then this wouldn't even be a topic of conversation. Remember that God the Father initiated this relationship with us while we were still sinners. That means that on the days when we seem clueless or we messed it up, we can make a decision that goes back to the Father because we know that his grace is still going to be there to support us in our time of need. Dads, we haven't arrived yet into all that we're capable of, but we are who we are because of Jesus. We know. We can be okay with the fact that we're not going to be perfect examples of godliness and fatherhood 100% of the time, but perfection isn't what gains your family's trust and respect. It's what we do when failure and correction confronts our life. What do we do with it? That's what our kids watch the most. My security comes 100% from reliance on God's power and wisdom in my life. So when I encounter his correction directly, hearing his voice, or I encounter it through my family, saying, hey, you got to shape up in this area, I don't have to try to defend myself. I can say, forgive me. I'm gonna talk to Jesus about this being a grace-filled part of my life. Our children learn infinitely more from us through our own seasons of growth and correction than they do in the seasons where it seems like we've got it all together and we're doing things perfectly. Dads, don't give in to the lie of self-reliance. Rely on God in everything in your life, and it'll go well with you. Be more confident in the grace of God in your life than you are in your own ability to cover up your mistakes or try to fix it yourself. Sometimes the worst thing we can do is just try to fix it. Let God be the fixer. Let God's grace, because the promise of Scripture says God will always give grace to those who are humble. Let grace be the thing that radiates out of your relationship with your kids, your relationship with your wife, relationship with your family. And the last thing I want to say as we close up today, our relationship with Jesus is what truly brings our identity. Our world is so focused on outward achievements, being attached to our identities. We've become so focused on what we've done, how well we're accomplishing, how well we're achieving, who we know, how many toys we have, how many vacations we get to take. I have this neighbor, and I love him, and he's not saved or anything yet, but he likes to talk, so it's funny. The conversations always seem to center around, like, what we have. And I don't necessarily have a lot. Like, I was working on this Honda lawnmower that's really nice that my dad gave to me in my truck, and he stops his truck. He's like, hey, did you get a new lawnmower? I'm like, well, it's not technically new. I'm just fixing the carburetor. He's like, seriously? I got one of those, too. It's the HRX 218. It's awesome. I'm like, well, good on you, man. Yeah, I'm looking forward to cutting my grass. And then, like, a year ago, I got a new roof. He's like, how much you pay for that? So I told him. And then it was like a month later, he had a new roof on his house. And he's like, guess how much I paid for this one? And it was like three times as much. So I remember just walking away thinking to myself, either this guy got totally ripped off or his roof is just spectacular. I don't know. But it's like, without even trying, it's like, how come everything's a competition? Like, I like my house, I'm satisfied, cool, you got your stuff, I got my stuff, we're all good. But so much of our world is centered around this performance mentality. Like, I'm being a good dad because I can provide my kids with ski boats and trips to Disneyland every year and this and that. But you know what? Life happens in the little moments. And we got to trust God with our identity when the world wants to try to get you into the competition. Because dads, one of the worst things we can do is try to superimpose our competitive insecurities onto our kids. I don't have kids in sports yet, but it's classic when I listen to people that are coaches, because I know a lot of coaches of little kids' sports team, and how much it's always the dads out there saying, swing like a man! Come on, you're better than this. What is it? It's the competitive drive and the insecurity in the father. It's not the insecurity in the kid. You're just lapping insecurity on your kids because you're like, man, I thought we were out here to have fun, but dad's like really serious right now. Why do we do that? Because we try to live some of the dreams that we wish we had the chance to live when we were younger through our kids. If we get too insecure and it's too based on competition and our identity's too wrapped up in what we've done and what we've accomplished and who we are and what job we have, and it's not worth it. Is that okay to say? I just want to challenge us this morning. It's your identity in Jesus through grace that prevents you from slipping back into your old identity through performance. Dream big for your kids. Push them to succeed, but make sure that the dreams that you push them toward are the dreams that are in their heart and not just the dreams that you wish you had accomplished earlier in your life. Because we don't want to push our kids toward performance for us. We want our kids to know that we love them no matter what, in the best times and even in the failures, that there's nothing our kids can do that's just going to embarrass us to the point where we don't want to have a relationship with them anymore, because we know who we are. We're sons of God. We're daughters of God. We are kingdom heirs. We're a part of the kingdom, and that's what gives us our importance. That's what gives us our value. That's what gives us our strength. It's all Jesus every day, 100% of the time. I want to be a dad that just makes Jesus famous to my kids. When people ask me, what makes you so special? I can just say, it's Jesus. I didn't inherit this because I have a great family, but it's not just inheritance through good genes or great family history and zero divorce and never any problems and 100% perfect all the time. I'm not interested in trying to live a life of perfection. I'm interested in saying, Jesus, when I'm weak, you're strong. Your grace is sufficient for me. You've called me to be a dad. I'm going to be the best dad I can be through your grace and through your call on my life. Amen? Would you stand with me this morning as we close? I just want to say to any dad out there this morning that's, you feel the Holy Spirit, and it's the Holy Spirit with you. If you feel a tug on your heart that's saying, man, I want a relationship like that. I want the performance to just be done. I'm sick of trying to cover up for my own mistakes. I need grace. I just need to tell you that's the Holy Spirit pulling you toward Jesus and saying it's worth it. And here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 1 as we continue. It says, we were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who's a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. All you have to do this morning is believe Jesus. Say, Jesus, I've made mistakes. I've messed things up. I've got a free will that makes stupid decisions sometimes, but I just ask for you to forgive me, and I just want you to come into my heart. I want to begin the relationship with you that this pastor's talking about. If you made that decision in your heart today, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. You are a son, you're a daughter, and you are a part of the kingdom. Your identity is locked up in everything that Jesus is for you. So I just want to pray a blessing over dads, over families today, and then we can just end in a worship song real quick. But Father God, we thank you that you are so, so, so good to us. We thank you that the best father on the planet doesn't compare to you, that every good and perfect gift comes from you, the Father of the heavenly lights. We thank you that you sent your son. You are so in love with us that you sent your son to die to take the punishment for our mistakes so that we could be in relationship with you today. I pray that we remember as we walk out these doors that the most important thing we can do as dads in this world is keep a strong, steady relationship with you, because you desire our friendship. You desire our companionship, and we need you, Father. We need your grace to be all that you've called us to be. And as we close today, I just speak a special blessing over every father in this room. God, bless them. I just pray showers of grace over them. Grace to do everything that you've called them to do. Grace for walls to come down. Grace for rejections to be broken off. Grace for shame to be done away with. Grace for them to rise up in the true kingdom identity that you've called them to as fathers to their families, God. I pray for spiritual strength. I pray for stamina. I pray for leadership. I just pray blessing over every single father in this room today. Bless them, bless them, bless them. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Happy Father's Day.
The great is the Lord.